the Tualatin Historical Society. Today we're talking to Gladys May. Gladys, can you tell me, where were you born?
I was born on the old Zeno Brown property. My grandfather came out in 1889 from Chicago and bought the whole half a section for tax foreclosure mm-hmm. from Clackamas County. Mm-hmm. And
is that the property now where the hospital is?
Yes, the hospital bought 46 acres of it. Mm-hmm. And let's see, 40 acres belonged to my father and mother that Grandpa had given it to us. He divided his property and gave it to his children, each one 40 acres. Then there was a little bit left, and he sold that to Bill Saggart. And that's now where the Emmons property is, across from the apartment.
Mm-hmm. What was your father and mother's name?
My mother was Minnie Frobase, and my father was Edward Fredericks.
What part of the country were they from?
Oh, my father was from Chicago. He came out, Grandpa brought him, mm-hmm. brought his family out in 1889. And they were all born in Chicago. But my mother was born right up here on Frobase Road, Grandpa Frobase's property, where the Schneiders bought that.
They were married here then?
They were married at the Stafford Baptist Church.
Oh.
My grandfather and some of the older Germans, the Adens and the Olgestots and the Delkers and the Schatzes, mm-hmm. got together and they built that church. My grandfather was a contractor, so he bossed the job, and he built most of that church. Mm-hmm. And that's where my mother was and father were married.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have two sisters and one brother, an older sister, and then my brother, and then my younger sister. Mm-hmm. Hilda was the oldest one, and then Cooney, or Fred Jr., was my brother, and Pearl Alphenau was my youngest sister.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
Well, I went to school at Stafford.
Mm-hmm. Was Mrs. Somm your teacher?
No, it was after that. Mrs. Somm was already gone.
Yeah. Do you remember any of your neighbors, your early neighbors?
Oh, yes. The Malsons and Bushbounds. The Malsons and Bushbounds bought their property from Grandpa Fredericks because mm-hmm. it was part of that section. And then there was Saffron's, where Rolling Hill Apartments are, and the Nybergs were our neighbors. And across the road, the Lacys had bought that property, and that's where Martha Saffron Worth lived, she and Longworth.
Mm-hmm.
Martha was Mrs. Saffron's daughter, and she married Longworth, and that's where they lived at that time.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the early ferry.
Now, I don't remember the ferry, but I know Grandpa Frobase used to come walk down from Frobase Road to the ferry and go across to what was then Lake Grove, which is Lake, it's yeah. Lake Oswego now, and walked over to the iron foundry and worked in the iron foundry and walked back home in the evening and did his farm work.
What was the name of that ferry, do you remember?
Brown's Ferry. It was Zeno Brown. Brown's, mm-hmm. it was on their property. It was near sort of between, I don't remember the ferry, I just
yeah.
remember them telling about it. It was between Camp Trader Park and the apartments down that road. It was down in that general area. Just exact location, I don't remember.
Did you have electricity in your home when you were young?
Oh my goodness, no. We had lamps, and I've got one of the lamps here that my mother had. And we had our water system out in the backyard. It was a pump, and we'd have to, my folks would pump all the water and carry it in the house. It wasn't very far, it was just hop and a jump, because there was springs all over that place.
Mm-hmm.
We had ample water.
Oh yeah.
But it was all heated on the wood stove.
Do you remember when you first got electricity? What year it was, about when?
Oh, electricity out in this area was, I guess I was grown before they even had thought of electricity. Because Grandpa, after my father died, Grandpa built that little house next to the hospital, the little white house in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother finished raising the family there. And I was 11 years old, and we still didn't have electricity. She had her lamps. And we had outside two holers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember the first car in the family?
Yes, it was Uncle Henry Frobe's car, and I have a picture of that and the whole Frobe's family.
You remember what kind of car it was?
Let me show it to you.
No.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember.
I suppose you used to get around a horse and buggy?
Yes, we used to drive up and down. We used to come across the bridge at Sam's Pond and come down, which is now Prosperity Park Road. That was the wagon trail, and the horse and buggies. We always went that way to get
mm-hmm.
over to 212, which is now Borland Road.
Yeah.
And through the main road, Fox Hill, and down to the old place through the woods. That Fox Hill was all woods, virgin timber. That 40 acres was my uncle's. And he sold it to one of the Sagerts, I think it was Earl Sagert that he sold that to. My uncle did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cleared off all the timber.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, oh my goodness. That must have been 50 years ago, or at least 40 years ago when my uncle sold it.
Are any of your brothers and sisters still living?
My oldest sister, Hilda, is still alive. My brother passed away about 10 years ago, and my sister Pearl passed away in August, just this last August.
Whereabouts does your sister live?
She's in a foster home on a vineyard down near Oak Grove.
Oh, she lives in this area then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your brother.
He was a bosom pal of Lois Lee's father.
Art
Mackenzie. Yeah. Martinezzi, they call it now, yeah. But Grandpa and my parents always called it.
Yeah. You knew Art's mother and father then pretty well.
My family knew them real well, yes.
Julius?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Julius. My stepfather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Art's mother was my aunt's sister.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of related in a way, but not.
Art's.
Nettie. His mother was my Aunt Rose's sister.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Can you tell me about any of the other early families here? Much about them?
Well, I know my aunt was a real good friend of, I don't know if it was Bill Avery's sister or his mother.
Uh-huh.
I suppose it would have been his mother. They were real good friends. But as far as the family, I don't know much about them.
Did you ever know Reverend Mr. Blake?
No, I did not.
You remember any of the early families up around Stafford?
Now, those families I do know, the Oldensteps. And of course, my grandmother's sister was Grandma Mosier. Mm-hmm. And Grandpa and Grandma Mosier came from Switzerland and took out their claim where some of the Mosiers still have it. Marianne Neely lives on part of the Mosier property, and she was Ben Mosier's daughter. Then the Oldensteps farm joined them. And then I knew the Delkers real well, the old Grandpa and Grandma Delker, and the Schatzes. When I was just a child, they all went to church at the Stafford Church. And the Aidens were real good friends. George Aiden and my father were bosom pals.
Did you ever know the Sharps?
Yes, my grandmother was a good, real good friend of the Sharps. Did you know that?
Can you repeat it?
One of the Sharps committed suicide in the pig pen, and they found him all demolished from the hogs. And I think it was Perry Sharp, if I remember. I was very young at that time, and I know it was quite a news item. And everybody was really quite shook up over the event.
Yeah.
And then Grandma knew Emma Sharp real well. Now, Mr. Angel, mother was a Sharp, I believe, wasn't she?
I don't know.
Mr. Angel that lives up off of Prosperity Park Road.
There was a family of Thompsons down there, too.
Oh, yes.
Vic Thompson, do you remember?
Pardon?
Victor Thompson?
Oh, yes. Victor Thompson later on was deputy sheriff for Clackamas County, and I worked in the tax department for Clackamas County at that time.
Oh.
So I knew Vic real, real well, and his sisters and brothers. Enzie Wood, I knew her real good, and I knew her daughter too. She had one daughter. And then the Beckmans, of course, the Beckmans went to the other church, the Fog Pine Church. The Frobases, my grandmother Frobase and all my aunts and uncle went to that church, the Fog Pine Church.
The church you talk about in Stafford, is that the one by the cemetery?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when was it built?
Oh. It was the first church I attended. It must have been built around the turn of the century, probably 1902-3, in that general area.
The cemetery, was it before that, though? Several years.
The Robert Byrd Cemetery was, but the Baptist Cemetery was... At the same time the property, the church was built within there, the Baptist Cemetery. I imagine they bought it. I imagine the church bought it to bury their members.
Yeah, I know the bird cemetery's been there, because I have a lot of relatives buried in the bird cemetery way back in the 60s and 70s.
Probably the Baptist people, when they built that church, bought the rest of that property for their cemetery because it's two separate ones. There's no separation. You can't tell where one ends and the other begins, I don't think.
Well, I think the part closest to the church is the...
That's our system.
Yeah.
Yes. And my grandfather, grandmother are buried there, and so's my father and mother. And Grandpa bought several plots. So there was one empty plot. There were three graves that weren't being used. So when I lost my husband, that's where we put him, because he was part of the family, and he said that was home. So he hadn't here 2 years when he passed away.
Oh, mm-hmm.
We lived at Lake Oswego before that. He was the Baptist minister at the First Baptist Church in Lake Oswego.
Was he there for several years?
About 30. 48 to 72.
Oh,
uh-huh. Yeah.
How long have you lived in this house?
We moved here in 1970. It was only 4 years old. It was fairly new at that time.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about the town of Tualatin then?
Oh, yes.
That's what we're interested in.
It was 1 mile from our place, and we always walked to Tualatin. And there were very few houses, and just one main street down Boone's Ferry. And where Rich's Kitchen is now was the grocery store, and that was your forefather's. Was it your father or your...
No, it wasn't, no relation of mine. It had the grocery store.
Oh,
it was Robinson. Newt Robinson.
Oh, Newt Robinson. Oh.
Then Ed Robinson had the other store.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They were brothers.
Yeah.
Well, I can faintly remember. We'd come to Tualatin and then ride the Oregon Electric to Portland.
That's right.
Our means of transportation.
That's right. Did you ever know a fellow named Charlie Castile?
Oh, yes. The Castiles. We knew the Castiles. That's Andrews. What's her first name?
Evelyn.
Evelyn Andrews. Wasn't she? No, she wasn't a Castile.
Her dad is.
Right? Her dad was a Castile. Her mother was Mays.
Juergens? Yeah.
Evelyn Andrews? Oh.
Yeah, Charlie Castile was my grandfather.
Oh, is that right?
The Evelyn Andrews' father and my mother were brothers and sisters.
Well, and you're related to Evelyn.
She's my cousin.
Mm-hmm. She was out at the Lee's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she lives right next door there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know where she lives.
Do you remember any other people in Tualatin? Do you remember when the church, the Methodist church, burned?
Yes, I believe I do.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, I wasn't living in Tualatin anymore. After my father died, I was 11 when my father died, and my grandparents. I had moved to Pete's Mountain when they divided their property. He bought 40 acres up there from old Peter Wise and built a little house. My grandmother was from Switzerland and she didn't like Tualatin. So she wanted to go someplace that looked like the Alps. She loved it up there, up on the hill. Tippy top of Peace Mountain. So he built her a house up there. And then I lived up there with my grandparents, and my oldest sister went to Portland and with an aunt. Mother had to go to work. She took the two, well, she took Pearl with her because Pearl was only a baby. She was only about 4.5 years old at the time we lost my father. And Cooney went to live with the Frobases. So this is how the family got separated. Then after she married Julius Scott, which she took the two little ones back home, but we never did go live at home. That's why I went to Stafford School. And Pearl, well, Hilda went to Tualatin, and so did Cooney and Pearl. So this way I...
Now, how was Pearl Fredericks related to you?
She was my sister, my youngest sister. She was Fredericks.
Was she redheaded?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody knew Pearl.
Yeah, I went to school with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was 7 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was a good friend of the Psalms.
Oh, yes. She, her and Hattie were inseparable, and Cooney and Steve were inseparable also.
Yeah. Last I heard, Steve is living up in Central Oregon.
Up in Burns.
Burns, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about the Psalm House, the castle?
Oh, I used to play in that house. We had a ball. We'd climb up the tippy top. The only part that was finished was downstairs.
Yeah.
The living area. Were you? Did you go through it?
I remember. Yeah.
You were in it too. Yeah. Oh yes. Grandpa Song came from Germany, and he liked those castles in Germany, and he had all this wood, these trees, this forest. He had big dreams that he was going to build a castle, and so this is how that house got started. And of course, then old Grandpa Sam passed away, and George never did finish it.
Well, Grandpa was an architect, wasn't he?
Now, this I don't know, but I know they had the sawmill.
Yeah.
And he sawed lumber for everybody in the country. Even Grandpa Fredericks even bought lumber from him to build. And I guess he didn't have time to finish his own house. Then Grandma Somm, well, one other thing, Grandma Somm died. And she wanted to be buried on the property, so they buried her, you know, where Wilkie Road is, goes off the Borland. And on the right are all those trees. She wanted to be buried there.
Under those trees?
Yeah. And then later on, they transferred her remains, and my father helped them transfer the remains to the cemetery.
Yeah, the house I was born in, which is just across the road here, the lumber came from Psalm Sawmill in 1904.
Well, I was about 4 years old. I can remember that my father and my grandfather built that big barn, probably 1910 is when they built that barn. And after we moved here, that barn was still standing. But then the Emmons tore it down and put in a new barn, a modern one. But before that, the buildings were the ones that Zeno Brown had built. He had built this big prune dryer, and he dried prunes for everybody around the country. See, Orchard Hill Road, what used to be Wilkie Road, because they platted that property then. It was all prunes. It was orchard of prunes. And then they planted that as Orchard Hill, so they named that road Orchard Hill Road. That was across from our property.
Mm-hmm.
I know back of Emmons' house was a big orchard that my grandfather had, and I think it probably was the original orchard that the Browns had, or Mr. Brown. I don't think he ever married, because there were no heirs at all.
Did they raise anything besides prunes, or mostly all prunes?
You know, my parents?
Yeah.
My grandparents? Oh, well, the prune orchards were there. He didn't plant those.
Oh, I see.
They were Browns and whoever else, and Browns built the prune dryer. But Grandpa raised onions. It was an onion farm, and potatoes. Onions and potatoes. And they used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and take his onions to Portland. And on Barber Boulevard, there was a store. He always delivered his produce there. And then he'd go to all the other stores in his horse and wagon down Portland and all over, and his potatoes. And then my father did that too. Every week they'd take a big load of potatoes and onions into Portland.
There used to be a lot of little mom and papa grocery stores in South Portland.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that's where they...
Well, Polifsky's was one of the stores that was right on Barber Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to take strawberries down there in the horse and buggy.
You did the same thing.
We'd pick strawberries all day, and the next morning we'd get up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
That's just in the wagon.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting to talk to somebody that did
my dad or older brother, sometimes I went along too, and we'd get back about dark that night. Mm-hmm. And if we made $25, we had an excellent day.
I know. Yeah. That was a fortune.
Yeah. That's right.
And a lot of, we'd go in and then we'd stay all night because my aunt then had moved to Portland and she lived in town, so we'd just spend the night there. Then shop the next day or play around town and then come home. And when we really wanted to splurge, they'd take the... my folks would go take on the electric train and go into Portland and spend the weekend. Usually we'd leave on Friday and we'd come back on Monday. I don't know who took care of the animals, but they got taken care of, I guess. Well, they always had an extra man, their hired man, and somebody stayed there.
What kind of animals did you generally have? Did you have any cows or?
We had cows and horses, a lot of pigs. The pig pen was down at the below the hill where Mrs. Emmons' house is, and that was a lane where the pigs and Grandpa had let them run, and my dad had let them run in the orchard to eat all the fruit that had fallen and was not usable.
No. Did you have dairy cows, or did you sell milk or anything like that?
Oh, no, just for our own use, just a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Grandpa didn't like to milk cows, and neither did my father, so they just had a couple of cows so they could have their own milk.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did with, oh, I know, yes, they'd take the cream off of the milk to make butter and then feed the skim milk to the pigs and raise their pigs on it.
That's what we used to do.
Yeah. Oh, well, farmers, that's what they did.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you ever have horses?
Oh, yeah, we had a team of horses. And
I mean, did you ever have riding horses that you...
Oh, no, yes.
Can you tell me about where you went to school?
I went to Willamette Grade School.
Mm-hmm.
My three children also attended Willamette Grade School, and they were growing up, and Mabel Larson was their teacher. She was my teacher, and she was also their teacher. Oh. And Etta Mae Hawley was my teacher when I was in the eighth grade, and she was also my two oldest children's teacher.
They really stayed at it in those days, didn't they?
Yes.
They made a career out of it.
Mm-hmm. And then the first year that we used to have, the high school was at Willamette, in the old Willamette grade school. They had the high school also. But the first year when, after I graduated, was the new high school at West Lynn, and so everybody went to West Lynn High.
Did you go to school beyond that?
I went to business college. I took for about 2 years, and took business.
Mm-hmm.
Secretarial course, and I worked at my first job and only job was the sheriff's department, the tax department, and I worked in the bookkeeping department there.
In Oregon City?
In Oregon City, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then after my youngsters were in school, I went back to work, and I worked until I retired in 1966.
You always worked for the county, huh?
Yeah, the only job I ever had. I always went back to the same thing because a job was available whenever I wanted one.
Yeah. Okay, start in now.
Start in again. Well, I started with a cross-cut saw that Grandpa Fredericks had. And I had them down in the barn until last month. And my grandson from California saw those saws, and he said, those are collector's items. And I said, take them, because they're just hanging there. Well, then I had a lot of tools that were my father-in-law's. And he was a millwright at Crowns Ellaback Mill, and he was killed in a mill accident. And he had all these millwright tools. And that was 1923 when he was killed. So this was his chest of tools that were his own. Well, my husband later on acquired that tool chest full of tools. And my grandson, who's now 24, was up here in August, and he saw those tools in the barn. You know, I didn't know what to do with all those tools. I knew they were collector's items. He gathered up all those tools and packed them up in his BMW and took them to California with him, where they lived, out in Monterey. My son told me the other day that he prizes those tools. He cleaned them all up, and he's wrapped each one separately, and he just treats them like he's got a fortune. He said he did have a fortune because those tools really found a home. I was so happy because they were here. We had them, and when we were in Lake Oswego, we had those tools, and then when we moved out here, he brought them along, and they were down the barn all this time, just sitting down there, waiting for somebody to want them.
Well, that's interesting, because a lot of that stuff is really valuable.
Well, this is really a collector's item.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any old Bibles or anything in the family that's been handed down?
Oh, yes, I do have. The poor thing is just really dilapidated, but it's a great big family Bible right here.
Tell me about some of the furniture I have in the house. Did any of it come west with your family, or was it acquired after they got here?
I think that love seat came with the Gear family,
mm-hmm,
from across the... Because it was my sister-in-law's, Cooney's wife. And Cooney's wife was a Gear. And this was two or three generations, this love seat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I'm sure it came.
Mm-hmm.
But the other things didn't. They were purchased from Portland secondhand stores, like the piano. My uncle got the piano secondhand, or my aunt really did. The aunt that was Mrs. Avery's friend. And then they got that hall rack also. She had that as long as I can remember.
That's a very unique piece, isn't it?
Yes, it is. As long as I can remember, they had that. I also had a throne chair that was way over 100 years old. And I just have too much furniture, so I keep giving it to the family. So my son took it to California with him one time when he was up here, so he has it down there. I also have a phonograph that my grandfather had bought. He bought that I was 9 years old when he bought that phonograph. So he bought it 80 years ago. And my son took that home too. And then my grandfather bought a piano about the same time. It was a player piano because he just loved music, and he'd sit and play that player piano. He had about 250 rolls. Well, my son took that one too. So he has an antique room down in Monterey where he lives.
I noticed a spinning wheel. Is that?
Oh, that's my spinning wheel. That's not ancient.
No.
That's modern. After I lost my husband, my son decided he was going to get a sheep and a goat to eat the grass, but he made pets out of them, so he still had to mow all this lawn. Then he says, Mom, you need to learn to spin. So he made the spinning wheel for me.
Oh, you made it?
Mm-hmm. And so I've been spinning.
You still use it?
Oh, all the time. I haven't had it too long, about 10 years, I guess.
Oh.
8 years, maybe, 8 or 10. Yes, I do spinning all the time and knitting. It's a little too...
Where do you get the wool to spin?
Well, we went out to Beaver Creek to BJ's Wool Farm, because every year they have a craft show and the wool sale, fleece sale. So that's where we buy our fleeces. We choose the special kind,
mm-hmm.
and then we bring them home, and whatever we want to do with them, I wanted to color some, so I colored this, and then dried it and carded it. Now it's ready to spin.
It must take a lot of work to card it, isn't it?
Well, I have a carder.
Yeah.
A roll carder.
Yeah.
No, that's the easiest part.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Because when it's in its natural state, it always looks like it's so kinky and curled up that...
Yeah. Well, you do like this to it. You have to tease it,
mm-hmm.
and get it all, separate it, and then you put it in your carder and run it through your carder, and then...
Is it generally pretty dirty when you get it and you have to clean it? Or?
Yes. It's quite dirty. I have a lot of it, I'll show you. I bought three fleeces. This is the one that comes off of the sheen.
You say you have three fleeces. Now, is that the wool off of three sheep?
No.
How much is a fleece, I mean?
This one, I believe.
Does it go by the pound or what?
4 pounds. This one's 4 pounds. I have 2 4-pound ones, and then I got 1 3-pound. This is the one I colored.
Mm-hmm.
This one I'm going to color raspberry. Real pale raspberry, just almost pink. I think this is the best one I have.
Do you know what variety of sheep these came up with?
This is Border Leicester, mm-hmm. from, I guess they call it Leicester, from Leicester, England.
Mm-hmm.
They're imported. I mean, they were imported,
yeah.
and they're mixed. They're mixed with something else. So they make a good spinning fleece. See, they're soft, They're not scratchy.
That's interesting. Last year we went to Australia and New Zealand, and there was one sheep ranch down there. They had 19 varieties of sheep, and they give us quite a story on what each kind of wool that each one produced and what the wool was used for. They raise special sheep for special kinds of wool, you
sure
know.
Sure they do.
And it was very fascinating.
Oh, that's what something I've always wanted to do is go to Australia and New Zealand and see those sheep. We have a spinning group that gather here every Wednesday. Not especially at my house, we just meet at different people's mm-hmm. houses. And
that's why you wanted me to come today.
Today, yes, I'm going spinning tomorrow. That's right. Wednesday, I always keep open. Wednesday and Thursday, because Thursday I go out to lunch with, used to be Norma Schauber, Norma Miller, you know who she is. Millie Wells. Mm-hmm. And we go out to lunch. We have Pearlie, but Pearlie's gone. She can't meet with us anymore on Thursdays. So Wednesdays and Thursdays are full.
Why do you generally make rugs or out of your wool?
Oh, sweaters, garments.
Garments.
Yes. A lot of the girls weave. They.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they hand weave their. But I knit mine.
Mm-hmm.
I do knitting.
Well, that's very fascinating. Your wool is very fascinating. Tell me about the rabbits you have.
Oh, I have Angora rabbits. I have a gray rabbit and a fawn color, and I have two adult white Angoras, and I have four young ones that are, they were a month old last Sunday. And I comb, you comb them all the way from 2 weeks to a month, and you get this beautiful Angora fur off of them, and then we spin it.
You comb it off, you don't clip them like you do a sheep.
Oh no, you comb it, because you just brush it or comb it like you would your dog or your cat or your pets.
Yeah.
And the loose hair comes off, and then you have that beautiful fur.
How often do you comb?
I should do it every 2 weeks, but all the way from 2 weeks to a month to keep it nice and mm-hmm. soft and without maps in it. It comes off